they see Jesus, all that disbelief, all that place where they don't think that they know God, is going to change. Unfortunately, it's going to be a moment too late.
Amen.
Amen. Because there is, it's appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. All right, so another quick question before we get into the sermon topic today. How many folks are going to die?
All
of us. All right? So what are you afraid of? All right? There's nothing to be afraid of.
No.
Nothing to be. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, where are you going to go when you die?
That's it.
Amen. There's a paradise waiting for you, isn't it? Now, I ain't talking about somebody who goes to Las Vegas, but paradise. No, there is paradise. There is more.
Amen.
There's a kingdom that is greater than you can wrap your heart and your mind around right here and now. Mm-hmm. We have a hope in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
What we're going to talk about this morning, Lord willing, is something that God laid on my heart. You know, I said that I was going to speak about the kingdom for a whole year. I was going to teach for a full year on the kingdom. But that's before God said, I'm going to send a little bug around you. And I'm going to freak some people out. They're going to panic, and you're going to have to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about the panic that's going on around the world right now. I want everybody, just for a second, relax. Okay? Just relax. Who's in control?
God.
Amen.
And how much control does he have?
All of
it. Okay? Did God know that this was going to happen?
Yep.
Amen. Does he know the beginning from the end?
Yes.
Amen.
Sir.
Is he not Alpha and Omega?
Yes, sir.
Right? And he knows your days are numbered. Even though you don't, he knows when you were going to be born, before you were born, he knew that date, right?
Amen.
When you breathe your last breath, do you think it's going to be a different day than what he has already planned?
No.
Amen. So it's okay. It's okay. The problem is we're killing each other with fear.
Right.
All right? We're killing each other with fear. Jesus talked, and I added these couple things this morning, as I was in prayer this morning and going over the sermon, there's a couple things the Lord laid on my heart. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 24 through 26, what you have here is the scene where Jesus and the disciples get into a boat and they're going to go across to the other side. And halfway through that, about the middle of the night, there come a great storm. Right? These were fishermen, the disciples, and they were freaking out, man. Dude, Jesus, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. And they went over to Jesus. They shook him. They woke him up and said, Jesus, we're going to die. And Jesus said, you're right. No, he didn't. No, he didn't say that at all. He said, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Why are you afraid? Don't you know that Jesus is in the boat with you?
Amen.
And when Jesus woke up, he calmed the storm. That's what we're going to talk about today, is calming the storm.
Amen.
We got to calm the storm. Mm-hmm. Take a deep breath. Something that has been all over the world, Christians are saying this a lot right now from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind.
Amen.
So if you have the spirit of fear all over you, where's that coming from? Is that coming from the Lord God? No. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of ability to speak into the storm, and God will do something.
Yes.
All right? God is doing something. Jesus told everybody who's born again. He told us this in John chapter 14 and verse 27, and after this we'll get into the sermon. All right, this is the good news, that God, Jesus brings peace into the situation. That's the title of the sermon.
Amen.
So John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Amen? So when he left, what did he leave with us?
Peace.
He went to heaven. Now what did he leave, Mike?
Peace.
Peace. Say it like you believe it.
Peace.
Peace. All right. Now Jesus left his peace with us, a calmness in the midst of a chaotic world.
Amen.
He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, are those high suggestions, or do you think Jesus meant it when he said it? I believe he meant it. Did God know, did Jesus know when he said these things, did Jesus know that there was going to be tribulation coming throughout the world?
Yes.
Amen. And what was he telling the people of God? Chill out. Calm down. The end is not yet. This is not the end of the world. To a corny song, I forget who wrote it. It's the end of the world, and I know it, but I feel fine. Okay? okay? And this is not the end of the world. This is a virus. And will there be people dying from it? Yeah. Yes, there will be. But people die from the flu.
Right.
Every day. Mm-hmm. People die from drinking too much. Every day. Mm-hmm. People die from shooting up heroin. Every day. Guess how, and we already talked about this a minute, how many get out of this life alive? None of us. All right? Now, I understand that this is a pandemic, all right? It is going across the world. It is a virus that our bodies are not used to. But out of all the people that die, there are people that are better. And if it does nothing else, let this bring the church together.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Let us put our faith in Jesus Christ in these times. Mm-hmm. They're uncertain if you don't know Jesus Christ. But if you know Jesus Christ, that's where your certainty needs to lie.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Not in the lies of the deceiver, but in the truth that is encapsulated in Jesus our Christ. Amen. Amen. Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Messiah. The one who came to set us free from all fear. Alright? He gave us eternal life. But you can't get eternal life until you die. Right? Now you get the promise of eternal life while you're right here right now. But you don't enter into that eternal life until you breathe your last breath here.
Amen.
Right? So why are you afraid? America, why are you afraid? If anything comes out of this, you learn how to wash your hands. Glory to God.
Yes.
Amen. I'm glad that you learned how to wash your hands. I wish it didn't take this. But maybe God was trying to tell us you're unclean. In fact, I think that's exactly what Jesus, God, is telling us. Is that we're unclean. But the uncleanness that the Lord's talking of is not of our hands.
No.
It's not of what you put. It's what comes out of you.
Amen.
It's a heart that's unclean. And so my concern is not so much for the virus and the things that are going on right now. My concern is, where is the church looking for hope?
Right.
Okay? Where is the church? Now, I'm not talking about the world, those who don't know Christ.
No.
We're supposed to be the light in the darkness. That's what the church is supposed to be. But where is the church looking for hope? Open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 121. I mentioned this last week. I did not know that this was going to turn into the seriousness or the cornerstone of this sermon. Say amen when you get there. If you do not have a Bible, there's one in the pew or on the floor in front of you. Psalm 121, are you there?
We're there.
Amen. Praise God. This is what the Lord says. I like that. It's the Lord's word. This is not Curtis's idea. All right? And the psalmist says here, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence my help cometh. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Now, there's a great things in those first three verses. Where's your help coming from?
The Lord.
The Lord. And why does he say, look up to the hills? What happens when you look up to the hills? You lift your face up. You're lifting your face to the hills. You're lifting your chin off of the ground. You're not worried about the things that are here. My help's going to come from here. My help's coming from God.
Amen?
Amen? And guess what? He is not asleep.
No.
The Lord's not slumbering. He's not taking a cat nap. He's not saying, well, I worked all day. I'm going to take a nap now. No. He's alive. He's concerned. He knows what you're going through. He has compassion for you.
Amen.
And he will not suffer your foot to be moved if you're looking for his help, right? He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel neither shall slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. How much evil are you going to be preserved from?
Uh-huh.
All right. Hey, I'm canned in the Lord. I am a can of preserves. Amen? I am preserved by Jesus Christ. He put in me what needs to be in me, and He sealed me until that day of resurrection, till that day of judgment. I'm sealed in Him. I will not be moved because my faith is in Jesus Christ. It's not in this stuff that's going on. I mean, as much as I love our president, he will not help this. Amen?
Right.
And all the scientists and all those folks that are all freaking out. You know, hey, man, I'm freaking out. Stop scaring people.
Amen.
All right? Stop scaring people.
Right.
Now, this is serious. Now, I'm not trying to take anything away from the seriousness of this. But God, He knew when this virus was coming.
Right.
He knew what it was going to do, and He knows when it's going to end.
Amen.
Amen. And believe it or not, there are some people on this earth today, right now, that already have the antibodies in them, sent through the Holy Ghost before they were born. He formed them in the womb.
Right.
Amen. And you were born for such a time as this. Ask Esther. Right? Not my sister, Esther. All right? But in the Bible, I have a sister by the name of Esther. She's the oldest sister. Love her to death. And if I had the insurance, I'd prove it. No. so, as the Lord says, and listen, God's going to shade us from all the trouble, right? And when I say He's going to shade us from all the trouble, does that mean you won't catch this flu? No. But when you have this flu, who's going to shade you? The Lord will. And if you breathe your last breath and you have this flu, guess who's going to carry you home? Amen. The Lord will. Right? My hope is not on this planet. My hope is in the kingdom that He promised
Amen.
For me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. Seek first what's up there, not the stuff that's down here. And He will take care of you. And if taking care of you means that you catch the flu and you die, He's still taking care of you. Amen. You're not going home early, George. You're going home on time. Amen. You're going home on time. None of us will die 1 second before you're supposed to. And none of us will live 1 second longer than it's already called.
Right.
Now, don't do stupid things like jump in front of a truck. Amen? Because even Jesus said, when Satan tempted him and brought him to the pinnacle and said, throw yourself out, Jesus said, listen, don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Right.
And will He take care of me lest I stump my toe against a stone? Amen, He will.
Yes.
But I ain't going to do something stupid like that, Lucifer. Get behind me. Stop it. All right? Now, as far as the flu goes, doing things stupid. All right? Don't lick doorknobs. Okay? That's stupid. Don't do that. All right? When somebody blows their nose on a hanky, don't take it from them. That's theirs. That's stupid. Don't do that. If you see someone going like this and then reaches for you, don't take their hand. It's okay. Right? Don't do stupid stuff. Wash your hands. Praise God, America's washing its hands.
Amen.
You know, take a deep breath. It says in verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and for how long?
Evermore.
Forevermore. So, is this thing okay? I think it is. I really think it is. Is it going to kill more people than it's supposed to? Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. The question is, are you ready to go when it comes to you?
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Are you born again? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because if you haven't, you might not die of this flu. You might step outside of this building and a chipmunk jump down your shirt and you freak out and run and hit your head on the flagpost out there, get a concussion, and die from a brain hemorrhage.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
Who knows what's going to happen? What you need to know is where you're going before you get there.
Amen.
Amen. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know who is in charge of this thing.
Praise God.
Oh, the Lord is my keeper. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't worried about none of this stuff.
No.
I know a lot of people, they're going to listen to this and say, that's one crazy pastor. Well, guess what? I am. I'm a crazy pastor. I believe what the Bible says. How much of it do I believe? All of it.
Yeah.
All of it. And the beautiful thing about this, do you think God did not tell us that these things were going to happen? All right, everybody knows, flip to your Bibles. This is, again, in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7. Everybody's going to say 7:14. All right, we all know that one. Praise God. That's a good thing to know, all right? It's like John 3:16. That's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. You ought to have it memorized. Okay, but how about John 3:18, 19, 20, 21? Have you bothered to study those? All right, 3:16 is beautiful. But this is condemnation, that the light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than the light. Amen. That's what sends people to hell. We need to get that right. Amen. The light came in. So anyhow, everybody knows 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Praise God for that. That's where our hope is.
Amen.
All right, now what does it say just before that? Because I think what it says before and what it says after is better than the cure. All right? Here's what caused the whole thing. This is how it all messed up. Because if you get sick, don't you want to know where it comes from? Right? Where this thing is at? And it says in verse 13, and the Lord speaking to Solomon at the time, he says, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if I decide to do this, this is what you need to do. Now, we know when he shuts up heaven, that's a drought, right? And you know, in Africa, I didn't know this until this week, my wife showed it to me, there's a locust infestation. There are swarms of locusts in Africa. I saw a picture of a fella. He was probably no further than me in the second row over there, right? And you couldn't see him because there are so many grasshoppers coming. And you know what their answer is? This is the funniest answer in the world. We're going to send ducks. That's what they think is going to fix this thing. We're going to buy 1 million ducks, and we're going to send 1 million ducks to Africa, and they're going to eat all the grasshoppers. Okay. I think there's an easier thing to do than buying a lot of ducks. Mm-hmm. How about if the people of God decided to believe the word of God and start doing something different,
amen,
in their lives?
Right.
How about this virus that's going around the world right now? Do you think God, this word pestilence in the Hebrew is D-E-B-E-R, deber. And let me go over here because I want to make sure that I get the right definition for it. Because I studied my Bible. Shazam! Go figure. What would happen if the pastors of America would study their Bible instead of worrying about what the scientists say about stuff?
All
right, there'd be a lot more churches open. My brother said they wouldn't be freaking out and hiding in their basement, right? And don't get me wrong, these are important things. But this word "debir," this pestilence, it means plague, disease, or virus. And it's written in the sense of destroying. So when God says, if I decide to send a pestilence into land, we'll put that into the word. If I decide to send a plague into the land, if I decide to send a disease into the land, if I decide to send a virus into the land, in the sense of destroying stuff. All right, God says, listen, this is why I'm going to do it. Now, we already heard the cure. What we need to do is go to pray. But he says in verse 19 of that same chapter, so just look over that. You can read actually 16, 17, 18, but verse 19 kind of gets to the point. And since I'm only going to preach for about 2.5 hours today, let's kind of get to the point. I'm still on page one. All right? Well, I got 5 of these. I'm on page one. So buckle up. All right? If you don't have buckle, I got rope, all right, in my pastor's office there, and we can tie you down. All right? Your chicken ain't going to burn. And between now and when you get out of here. And so, and it says in verse 19, talking to the people, if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up, talking about us, then will I pluck them up by the roots, out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, and I will cast out of my sight and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all the nations. And this house, which is high, shall be astonished to everyone, astonishment to everyone that passeth by, so that he shall say, why hath God done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord of their fathers, the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold of other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he, meaning God, brought this evil upon them. Why is this virus going around? What does it say? Why are the locusts destroying Africa? What does it say? It says simply because we, the church, have forsaken the Lord God.
Amen.
Amen. We have right now, in many of the congregations that call themselves Christian. Now remember the two words right here, Christ-like.
Yeah.
Christian. You're supposed to be like Christ. All right? How much sin did Jesus have in him?
None.
How many times when he was offered to go into and become part of something ungodly, how many times you do that?
No.
Never. Right? So if you are a Christian, a person of the way, right, then you ought to have an aura about you. You ought to have a lifestyle. You ought to have an obedience to the one that you say that you're connected with.
Amen.
You call yourself a Christian? Well, let me ask you, how do you feel about the statutes of God? God says one man, one woman for life. And if you are born a male, guess what you are when you die? Amen?
Yes.
You're a male. What if the doctors change you?
Won't matter.
Doesn't matter. If the doctors pump this up, cut that off, stuff it in here, pull it out, stick it somewhere else, you're still what you were born to be.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
All right? They have their... Some of the places that call themselves preachers have homosexuals behind the pulpit proclaiming the word of God. Now, I'm not saying anything bad about the folks who are caught in sexual sin. Lord knows that I did. Now, I wasn't a homosexual, but one sexual sin is just like all the sexual sins, all right? All right? And I had sex outside of marriage, all right? I'm not bragging about that. Matter of fact, I wasn't born a Christian,
amen.
All right? I was a sinner. In fact, I still am, all right? But I'm not caught in the old sin that I used to be. My sin now is more under the skin than it is over top, you know?
Yeah.
I used to walk in my sinful flesh. Now I crucify my sinful flesh, but I still have my sinful flesh,
right.
And I need to crucify that daily.
Amen.
In fact, I would say moment to moment. All right, because there's time, even as I'm speaking right now, the backside of my head, the old Curtis, he wants to say things that might not be godly, okay? And the Spirit of God is in my head saying, calm down, stick to the Word, amen?
Amen.
And that's where we need to be. And so he says, when you turn away from forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I've set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them. Do you think in the church, the ones who call them Christian today in America and throughout the world, how many other gods do they call upon? God of Facebook. All right. Hey, there's a good one. How many here listen or watch the God of Facebook? Y'all too. That's the Southern YouTube. Okay. How many get sucked up into that? Amen. I know you do, son. I love you, son. I love you. But you're playing with, you're holding hands with the devil while you're making eyes in heaven.
Amen.
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 Right? And so you need to be not careful. You need to repent.
Right.
And get out of that mess. Mm-hmm. Because he says, well, what's it say? What? How to fix all that stuff I just talked about. If my people, whose people?
My God's people.
God's people. Because mm-hmm. I ain't got no people. We're all sheeple. Right? Right? And I am just a sheepdog. That's all I am. Don't consider me a pastor or a shepherd. I'm not. I'm a sheepdog. I have a shepherd. That shepherd tells me what to do, and my job is to go around and bark at you until you get in the right spot.
Amen.
Amen? That's what a sheepdog does. And the shepherd says, all right, sheepdog, and he'll blow a whistle, and that sheepdog will run down, he'll cut out those sheep, and he'll bring them, turn them, make them go through the fences. That's all that a pastor is supposed to do, a preacher, expounder of the Word of God, is to show sin for what it is, all right, and give direction out of sin into righteousness. Now, what the sheep do about that, that's between you and God,
yeah.
Right? None of my business. They say, why do you have a small church? Probably because I preach the Bible, and I bark at people about it.
Amen.
You know? But I love you. All I'm trying to do is keep you out of hell. You know? That's all I'm trying to do is keep you out of hell. And so he says, in verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, first it says, humble yourself. What does it mean to humble yourself? That means you go up before the throne room of God and start demanding stuff, right? All right, you go, you start praying, and you just walk right into the throne room of God and say, God, I demand that you heal me right now. Is that humble? No. How about, Lord Jesus, thank you for even letting me into the room, all right? Yeah. Thank you for that I can even come into the Holy of Holies with you. Thank you that you allow me to even see you, all right? And now, Jesus, what I'd really ask you to do is help me to kill this flesh.
Amen.
All right, God, because I can't do it on my own. Right? I need you. I need you to show me my sin. I need you to purify me. I need you to kill me.
Right?
Because I can't even comprehend the glory that you have.
No.
Humble yourself before the
Amen.
Lord God.
That's right.
Humble yourself. Come in. Think. I mean, we think that, you know, and please, don't get me wrong. Jesus did pay it all on the cross. I know he did. And it's not your works that save you. It's because you believe, you understand who he is, and you've accepted him. You've asked him to be your Lord.
Amen.
Did you know what it means to have lordship underneath somebody? That means they tell you to go, and you go. That means you're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price.
Amen.
All right, you don't have any rights. You know that? You don't have rights. You're a Christian.
Amen.
All you should have is obedience.
Yes.
And what do we not have in the church today? Obedience. Right? There are some, praise God, there's always a remnant. Right? But you look at the mass of the people that call themselves Christian, the huge thousands and millions of people that call themselves Christian, and yet they have not repented of their sin.
Amen.
Right? They've never really looked at it and say, God, your word says this, but my mind says something else. That means, and I know that your word's perfect. That means my mind is wrong.
Right.
And I've got to change my stinking thinking. I've got to start walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. I've got to start really desiring you, God, more than anything else. I've got to learn how to not hold on so tightly to the world that I lose grip of the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. You know, and how about it, church? Who do you love? Who do you love? I love my kids. And they'll love you for a while, you know. And they will. I'm not trying to take anything away from that phileo, you know, that brotherly love that we're supposed to have. I love my wife, and my wife loves me, and that's an eros, that's an erotic kind of thing, all right? But it says agape.
Yes.
Agape love. That's different than those two. It's different than any other love that is on this earth. It's a different peace. It's a different depth. It's one that's willing to freely give of yourself that somebody else might be better.
Amen.
Right? That's the sense of it. To love God with how much of your heart?
All.
How about your mind? How about your mind? All of it? How about your strength? Everything that you're able to do? All of it, right? Now.
God's love is perfect.
Amen. Right? And if you don't have the love of God and you do all these things, what do you sound like? You sound like a tambourine.
Yes, sir.
Sounding brass. You're a lot of hot air, but there ain't much substance to you.
That's right.
Church, I believe we got a lot of hot air. All right? And you know what we ought to start doing? This is going to sound a little crude, but this is what I am, okay? I don't put on falsies for nobody. We need to lift our finger to the Lord and say, Lord, pull it so I can let out the gas.
Amen.
Right? We got a lot of bad gas. We got a lot of bad smelling stuff in us. We need somebody to relieve that. So we got to be honest before God. We got to be holy before God. We got to be laid out before the Lord and say, God, only you can relieve this from me. So please take it. Humbly coming before the Lord with the fullness of our heart. Humbly asking him, oh, to seek the face of God. To seek the face of God. When was the last time we really sought his face? Often we look for his hand. Lord, help me. Lord, bless me. Hand me this. Give me. My. Right? But seeking the face of God is a little bit different. What seeking the face of God means is that I understand who I am.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to become like he is.
Amen.
When I got in trouble as a kid, and I got in trouble a lot as a kid, they would say, come right here and look me in the face. And I did not want to do that. Okay? You know why? Because I knew I had blown it. I knew that I broke the law. I broke the rules of the house, and I was about ready. It was about ready to cloud up and rain all over me. All right, and I didn't want to look him in the face. I didn't, because I knew I had sinned. Why isn't the church seeking the face of God today? Because we are openly living in sin.
Amen.
All right, and we're afraid to look into his face.
Yes.
Although his face is a loving face, it's a kind and compassionate. And he doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to heal you. He doesn't want to cast you out. He wants to draw you in. But he says, listen, you are harboring sin in your heart. And even Jesus, the perfect Son of God, when he took on sin, the Father had to turn his face away. And we're told to seek the face of God. So that means I need to do something first. Right? I need to be cleansed.
Amen.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. So what do we need to cleanse us?
Nothing but the
blood of Jesus. Amen. What's going to make me right again? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's not of works that I have done. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So where do you go when you get dirty? You better head to the fountain. Right? You go to the fountain of grace. You
Amen.
Go to the very place that God is. Because if we don't go to the very place of God is for the forgiveness of our sin, he says, I will cast you out of my sight. Church. Ecclesia, all right? The ones that were in the world and that were in the darkness and called into light, you guys. Although we have sin, amen, he has power to forgive that, right?
Amen.
Tells us in 1 John, if you say you have no sin, you are a liar, right? And the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sin, he is what?
Faithful.
Faithful. He's justified forgiving your sin. As you come to him for the forgiveness of your sin. And how far does he separate that sin? East is from the end. Amen. Not just the earth. As far as the east is from the west. From infinity past to infinity and beyond. Right? That sounds like a cartoon, isn't it? Infinity and beyond. What is that, kids? The Incredibles?
Toy
Story. Yeah. Yeah. And so anyhow, let me tell you what my mind. See? And I ask that the Lord wouldn't allow that stuff to come in. And my big old flesh just jumped right in the middle of the sermon and put something stupid in there. Right? So I'll let you know I have not made it. But one thing I do is I forget those things that are past and I'm going to push on.
Amen.
Amen. So anyhow, as Jesus, as the Lord is telling us we need to seek his face, that we need to turn from our wickedness. Oh, Isaiah 55. Just flip over there real quick. Oh, this is a good one. In fact, I've read through the whole Bible. And they're all good ones. They're all good ones.
Amen.
Isaiah 55 and starting in, I have verse 6 through 13 here. But I think the whole thing is so good. Amen. So let me This is about God's great mercy, the whole thing that God is showing Isaiah here. Everyone that is thirsty, are you thirsty? Come to the water. Amen. Are you thirsty? Are you tired of this dry, weary land? Come to the water. This is verse 1, I'm sorry. Come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend your money, or money that which hath not bread, or your labor which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good. All right? Why are we wasting all of our wealth, all of our substance on something that's just going to perish anyhow?
Amen.
He says, come to the living water. Come and get something that's worth having. Where do you got to go? Go to Jesus. Go to the cross. Go to the very place where forgiveness was made for man. Eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in the fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Amen. Hear the word of God. And this hear doesn't mean just with your ears. It means with your life.
Amen.
Amen. You hear it and you change who you are. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, a commander of the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Amen? Now listen, look at what he's saying here. All right, the mercies of David. How merciful was God to David? The thing that made David a man after God's own heart is he knew how to repent.
Amen.
Amen. He was faithful. He saw his sin for what it was, and he laid it out before the Lord. Yeah, God, I did that. Oh, forgive me. And guess what God did? Forgave him and put a new song in his heart.
Amen.
Amen. The whole Psalms are about that. And in this, right after that, he says, after seek the Lord while he may be found, he says in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to your God, for he will abundantly pardon. Can I get a little shout?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Are you happy for that one?
Yes,
if I come to the Lord, what's he going to do? Pardon me.
Amen.
He's going to forgive me. If I come to the Lord and be honest with my sin, he says, I will fix it. Bring me your broken people. Bring me your thirsty people. Bring me your wounded people. And I will repair them. I will fix them.
Bless them.
But see, George, I can't bring you. You've got to go. Steph, I can't bring you. You can go, though. Let me show you the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And whoever believeth in me, amen, no man goes to the Father except through Jesus. And do you believe that enough to come to him? All you are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. And I will give you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not me. I can't give you squat. Jesus will give you. Amen.
Amen.
He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He loves you. Do you know he loves you?
Yeah.
Those who are dying in this virus, do you know he loves them? And he's calling the nation. And I believe that this is a national call for the church to awaken out of her sleep. We've been slumbering. We've been lazy. Church, we have. We've become fat. All right? Now, I'm not talking overweight. Oh, we are. Okay? But that's not what I'm talking about. Our hearts have become dull of hearing.
Amen.
Because of the blessings of God.
Right.
All right? God has blessed this nation far above any other nation except that of Israel. And we have taken the goodness of God and spit in his face.
Amen.
Church, we need to repent. Amen?
Amen.
What's going to stop this stuff? When the people, those who are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek his face. But to seek his face, what do I got to do? Let the wicked forsake his way. What do I need to do? For goodness sake, forsake it. For goodness sake, forsake it. If you know that you are living in something that is displeasing to God, stop.
Amen.
Don't yield. Don't wait a minute. Stop.
Amen.
But I can't stop. I'm only human. What, you think God doesn't know that? He knows you're human. That's why he came in human form, to be tempted in every way just like us, and yet without sin. He made a way where there was no way for human beings. So what are you going to do with that? Do you know when Jesus died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," guess what was finished? Condemnation.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That was finished. And although I cannot do that in myself, I can look to the one. I can look to the hills from where my help comes. I can look to the Lord, because he's going to be the one who heals me. He's going to be the one who shows me what sin is. He's going to be the one who delivers me from that sin. He's going to be the one who lays upon my heart to call him out by name and to humble myself.
Amen.
And to seek his face. I will not do it on my own. But when I trust him, he will create a hunger and a thirst in me.
Yes.
That makes me want righteousness. I tell you, sin makes me sick. Mm-hmm. All right? And it's not your sin, because you are full of it. All right? All of us, all human beings are full of it. It's right. My sin. It's my wicked ways that I need to repent from. I can't turn you from your ways. You got to trust God enough to stop what you're doing and trust him.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. God delivered me. Amen? Mm-hmm. I was an alcoholic, full-blown, snot-slinging drunk. And God set me free.
Praise the Lord.
Amen? Right. I was a drug-using whoremonger, and God set me free.
Amen.
Right? I am not a recovering alcoholic or recovering drug addict. I'm recovered because of what Jesus did for me on the cross.
Amen.
It is finished.
Praise the Lord.
He gave me everything I'll ever need to fight whatever my flesh comes up with.
That's right.
Don't lie to yourself and say, "The devil made me do it." The devil had nothing to do with that. You did it because you wanted to do it.
Right.
And you know what's going to set you free? Jesus empowers you not to do it.
That's right.
All right? Mm-hmm. So if you want this virus to go and go away quick, people of Christ, those who are called by his name, humble yourselves and pray.
Yes.
That's right.
Seek his face. Turn from your wicked ways. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, then he says, I'll hear from heaven. Do you want him to hear your prayers? If you harbor iniquity in your heart, he's not going to hear you. If you harbor sin in your life, he's not going to hear you. Oh, but when you come to him for healing, when you come to him dry and you need a drink, he'll meet you in the middle of your hurt.
Amen.
He'll meet you in the middle of your need. He'll meet you in the middle of your despair. He'll meet you in the middle of your sinfulness. Oh, praise God. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me.
Bless.
Amen. I didn't get better and come to Christ. I came to Christ and I got better. Right? And if you want this virus to stop, if you want this mess to stop in America, in the world, people of Christ, get right with Jesus.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, they'll come up with in a couple months, they're going to come up with this thing. And they're going to say, I'll give you a vaccine. But they won't tell you what else is in that vaccine. They're not going to tell you about the mercury that's in the vaccine. They're not going to tell you about the iodine that's in the vaccine. They're not going to tell you that kind of stuff. I got a better healer than a vaccine.
Amen.
I got the creator of heaven and earth on my side.
Yes.
All right? Now I need to get on his side. I need to get on his page. I need to have his sight, his mind, his heart. Mm-hmm. That means this one's got to die.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I can't say my will be done. I've got to say thy will be done.
That's right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Where is your help going to come from?
Jesus.
Amen? You said Jesus. Now that's verbal. Oh, they draw nigh to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me.
Right.
It's time to change a heart. There's a lot of lip syncing. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Lip syncing and stinking thinking. All right, you got to get that garbage out of you and get real with Jesus, because Jesus is real.
Amen.
For you. Mm-hmm. It was so real when he was on that cross. He became sin. The one who knew no sin, had no sin, took on the sin of the world that you might be sinless.
Yes.
What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Promise I'm going to stop before too much longer. James. I love James. Open your Bible to the book. We'll be in chapter 4. This will be the last bit that I'll talk about by the grace of God. Because if you don't repent and get close to God right now, you deserve hell. Right? And I'll be straight up. If you don't want it, you ain't got to get it. You have a free will. You can freely go to hell if you want to. But you don't have to, because Jesus made a way. Right? He made a way where there was no way. He met you in the middle of your mess, and he gave you an opportunity to get right with him.
Amen.
And if you leave this place today and you ain't right with God, and you die when you get out there, you get the virus and you drown in your own spit, you deserve it. We all deserve it.
Amen.
We all do. I deserve to die and to be sent to hell, but God. Amen.
Amen.
My two favorite words in the whole,
but God.
Amen. What I deserve, I got mercy and not justice.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
And so the Lord was speaking through James. He says, we'll pick up. This is all so good. I hate to cut any of it out. I really do. But for the sake of time, all right, I will. But I challenge you to go home, read your Bibles, believe what it says, and adjust your life to that.
Amen.
All right? All right? But we're going to get into this real quick. And he calls us right out. Okay, in verse 4, okay, he calls it straight out in verse 4. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, all you folks that are messing around on God, guess what? Adulterer, adulteress. Right? James said it, God meant it, all right? And so ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship with the world is an enemy with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Oh, wait, I can be an enemy of God? Sure, if you're too friendly with the world and the world system.
Amen.
Right? If I believe more about what the world is telling me and less what the Bible's telling me, Jesus says you're my enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be an enemy of God.
Yes,
I want to be a friend of God.
Amen.
Oh, to be a friend of God, I've got to obey his commandments.
Right.
Oh, when you turn away from his statutes and commandments, he sends pestilence amongst you. Okay? I think that's what we read. Y'all remember going through that? It was like an hour ago. Y'all, you can catch on to your mind that quick, right? Do you think, in verse 5, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth, that means yearns, has a yearning and envying? If you are born again, don't you know that the Spirit of God in you desires holiness?
Amen.
He wants you to be holy because he's holy.
Amen.
And he's our example. Let's live up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm not saying that you can be without sin or sinless, but I like this little play on words. You can definitely sin less.
Yes.
All right? You will not be sinless, but you can sin less. Right? And so, sin less. All right? And do you think that the spirit that dwelleth in you, he yearns, he lusteth and for envy? But he giveth more grace. I like that too.
Amen.
Because where I fall, he picks me up.
Bless
if I come to him, guess how? I've come to him so dirty that a plumber would have walked around me and not touched me. But Jesus caught me in the middle of that slime, and he loved me right through it.
Amen.
He picked me up. He gave me more grace than I deserve. Amen? And he giveth more grace. Wherefore he, meaning God, saith, God resists the proud. Oh, he resists the proud. Oh, but he gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands, you old sinners. Hooray. Get some antibacterial soap and cleanse your hands, you stinking sinners. And purify your hearts, y'all, you double-minded. I should have started there. Can we go another hour? What you got going? Anyhow, I saw your faces. I won't. And so, anyhow, cleanse your hands, you old sinners. I like it. Man, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Make up your mind who you're going to serve. All right? Don't be double-minded. A double-minded man is worthless to God.
Amen.
Make up your mind. Are you going to be in the world or are you going to be in the glory? All right? Oh, Jesus said this. Wait, it's in the Revelation. Oh, I'd prefer that you were hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth.
Right.
Make up your mind. Who are you going to be? Vomit? All right? Do you want to be God puke?
No, sir.
I know I'm a little crude. All right? But I don't know any other way to be who I am. Right? And so anyhow, draw nigh unto God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you old sinner. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God. Oh, and he will lift you up. Wow! What a promise! What a promise! I want to be lifted up, not of my own strength. I want the Lord to lift me up. How do I do that? I got to humble myself. I got to start thinking. I need to, instead of just wealth and health and prosperity and all that garbage that God has given us, I'm not trying to put that down, but what we have turned it into is repulsive to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? We need to get back. We need to get back to the foot of the cross.
That's right.
We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to call on his name. The name above all names.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Bless him.
I can't make you do it.
No.
Either you do it because you want to, or you don't because you want to. And I can't fix you want to. All I can do is open up the Bible.
Right.
Tell you what I think the Lord said to me. The cure is here. You want this virus to stop? Do you want it to stop? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, if we would turn from our wickedness, God promises he would hear from heaven. God promises he will heal the land. And I believe if the church, those who are truly born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, would really and truly do this, not just the garbage, the virus would stop. You know what else would stop? Hatred.
Amen.
You know what else would stop? Abortion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else would stop? Murder.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know what else would stop? Sex outside of marriage. How about those things? If the people of God would get right and ask God to heal
Amen.
The land, because the virus isn't the problem in America. The problem in America is the people of Christ have turned away from the statutes and the commandments of God.
Amen.
We've went our way instead of Yahweh. Amen?
Amen.
This need to come back to Yahweh and get our way out of the way. Wow. I hope someone wrote that down because I won't be able to remember it. Folks, I love you. I don't do altar calls. I really don't. Because what you do with this really depends on you and God. I'm not going to tell you to pray after me because I can't save you. What I will tell you, if you've heard something that pierced your heart today and you know you're doing something outside of God's will, stop it.
Amen.
Amen?
Right.
Stop it. Don't touch that. It's hot. You'll get a blister. Actually, you'll be surrounded with blisters. You'll go to hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and the worm never dies. Stop it. Get right with God. Believe it or not, I love you. Amen. I do. I absolutely love you. And I pray that you have heard something today that's moved on you. I'm going to lift this up in prayer. Then we're going to have Jesus draw me close. One last closing hymn. Dear Father, I thank you so much for your word, for your love, for your grace. I pray, Father God, that even now in the middle of this uncertainty that's going on in America, Lord, that you would move in your body, in your church, to call us to your righteousness. Lord, like your Bible says, like the word of God says, over and over again, when we see these things coming into the land, if we would repent, not the world, but the church. So, Father, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit and blow across the dying embers of your church. Father, that you would create a fire in the born-again believers of Jesus Christ, that we would go boldly, not with fear, knowing that you're in the boat with us, and you will touch the world with your grace through our hands. And we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.